positive energy into the universe.
Everybody, and welcome to episode 58 of the Ron and Brian podcast. I am Ron, as always, joined by the man who was in goal for Thailand during their Women's World Cup game against the United States the other day, Brian. Brian, how you holding up?
Well, here's the thing, okay. And I'm glad you brought it up because I felt very uncomfortable doing it now because I really care about my teammates. I care about them very strongly, and the issue that I'm having is soccer is a team sport. You know, you can't put a win or a loss on one set of shoulders. I was one of 11 players on that field. You know, my girls just were not playing defense at the caliber of play you have to when you're taking on the pitch for the World Cup.
And I think the offense needs to take some responsibility too. I mean, they had to keep that ball in the U.S. side to give you a breather from time to time, and they really weren't doing it.
Well, the other problem, and you know, they didn't show this in the highlights reel on ESPN, but we were watching, was halfway through the second half, some British tourists arrived on the pitch and started to buy some of our players from. from our manager, never to be seen again. We'll see what happens. It was very concerning.
I'm a little surprised ESPN didn't include that, like maybe in their not top 10 plays.
No,
like
it was shameful. You know, some very pasty, overweight, bald man came out speaking in an accent, offered our head coach some wine, and next thing you knew. Our top goal scorer was just gone.
Maybe you can drown your sorrows with a little bit of alcohol.
Drink of the week.
Na zdrowie.
Salud.
Drink of the week.
Sláinte.
Prost.
Drink of the week.
No poll this week. We decided to just do a roll your own. Brian, what are you drinking tonight?
I'm drinking the only thing that I will drink when not being told what to drink. And I'm drinking the nectar of the gods, what I like to call a Macallan 12. Major shout out to my friend Michael. He introduced me to this beautiful beverage that has become a mainstay, attacking my liver for, I would say, a good 4 years now.
Is there anything mixed in with that, or is that all alcohol in that glass?
Oh, that's alcohol with an ice cube.
Oof, that's a big pour, my friend. Godspeed to you.
We call that a home pour in the biz.
So I decided to try and mix some stuff up. I grabbed a little grapefruit soda mixer, threw in some gin, threw in some lime juice. I'm sure there's a name for it, but I just felt like something a little bit more on the little bit sweet side. So it's very tasty.
So you literally just like the level of not giving a fuck that you're you literally just started throwing in like different things.
I was like, what do I feel like? I knew I wanted gin. I'm like, well, I got that that grapefruit mixer that I haven't used in a while. And I'm like, a little lime would probably balance that out, too. So a little Rose's sweetened lime juice. It's a good drink. I mean, I'll probably have another one of these after we're done recording.
Okay. Listen, more power to you.
As I choke myself on an ice cube. So again, as we always remind you, give us some suggestions for a drink of the week. Go to the Facebook page, Twitter, to the website, hit the contact us page, and let us know what you think. Because we need some help, clearly.
We don't. Fuck that. We don't need help. We're doing fine on our own.
Well, we certainly don't need any help with drinking, but we could always use a suggestion. In the meantime, we're going to roll on into This Week in Racism.
This
week
in
racism.
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 Racism. So a lot of votes this week, actually, on both the Facebook and the Twitter page. And at the end of the day, we have a tie between Airbnb Kate and the Kickapoo High School Racist. I'm trying to think what were the numbers here. The Kickapoo High School Racist was up by a vote on the Facebook poll, but Airbnb Kate was up by a vote on the Twitter poll, giving us our tie. You know, we've had Uncle Freddy settle some ties in the past for us. I decided maybe we need something a little bit more precise, something a little bit more, have a rule in place, if you will. So I went into the committee meeting room, called the members of the Bracketology Racism Committee in. We had some discussions figuring out what's the best way to handle this moving forward. Their edict, which I kind of agree with, hopefully, Brian, you and our listeners will as well.
There's a reason they're the committee. We have to abide by. It's like the Electoral College. You may not be happy with it. You may not like it. But you understand that's the way the system is set up, and you have to abide by what the committee calls for.
Right. And so they brought up a very good point. They channeled their inner Ric Flair, and they said, if you want to be the man, you got to beat the man. You can't tie the man. So their verdict moving forward is if the challenger can't get a win, if it ends up being a tie, the nod will go towards the champion. So that means Kickapoo High School Racist is winning and is moving on this week. So he is going to be going for his third win.
Wow.
I'm sure Airbnb Kate will be very disappointed about that. She had a lot of hate, especially since she was kicked off of Airbnb. Now she can't even knock off some tobacco chewing high school hick from, where was Kickapoo again? Was that Alabama, Georgia?
I thought Arkansas.
One of those backwoods states.
Maybe we're wrong. Who knows?
Now, the other shocking thing this week is we did not see a single article regarding racism in public all week.
So disappointing.
Very rare this has happened. It happened during our one-year anniversary, but normally we have so many stories that we just don't know what to do with them all. Did not have any this week, none that could really come to the table and be any competition. So since I had the committee in the room with me, we had some discussions, and they came up with another edict, again, showing why they are so brilliant. Some of you may remember, we sent Days in Dave to the locker room a few weeks back because we felt we had two incredibly strong contenders. So Days in Dave, a two-time winner, never lost. And so they said, you know what? Since we've got no contender this week, why don't you do the right thing? Bring Days in Dave back into the fold. Let him go up against the Kickapoo High School Racist. They both have two wins. It'll be a very even matchup, and we can see who the true hateful person is. So just to give you a little bit of a reminder, this was the audio from Days in Dave as he was insulting a rapper that was staying at his hotel.
Say what you were saying.
Come on, let's hear what you got to say, Chunk Chuck.
Say what you were saying.
Come on, Chuck Chuck.
Say what you were saying.
Come on, boy. Come on, prison boy.
Prison boy.
Prison boy. That old prison boy here. Look at prison boy. Yeah, look at that little fucking dumbass haircut he's got. Looks like a fucking mop. Look at it.
Days in Hotel. Little fucking mop.
Look at that.
Virginia.
Look at that. This look at all that shit all over his face. You know, you can't even see his fucking face for all the shit.
This is how I'm being treated right now by this guy. And I've been staying here for two nights.
Yeah.
I've been staying here for two nights, and this look how this guy's treating a customer.
I ain't gonna lose my job over you.
Okay.
Bye.
Keep talking.
Get the fuck out of here.
Keep talking.
Get out of here before I call the cops.
Call the cops.
Yeah, he's a little fucking street punk. That's all he is. He ain't nothing to me. He's nothing. He's always been nothing. He'll always be nothing. Look at him.
Mind you, he doesn't even know who I am. He don't know who I am.
He's got a goddamn mop for a hair.
I don't know him either.
He ain't nothing to me. Son, you ain't no customer. You're just a little street punk.
A guest.
That's all you will ever be.
So that's Days in Dave. The one thing that always gets me listening to that clip is the music playing in the background. Because you can't listen to music like that and not have a Confederate flag in your living room.
Oh, no, there's definitely a Confederate flag.
So just to be fair, let's give everybody a reminder of his competition, the Kickapoo High School Racist.
Before we start Q&A, I got something to say. This is for all the kinspooks and niggers you're kicking, but you stay the fuck out of our locker room. Fucking coming in and stealing shit, we should fucking lynch you. Fuck all of you. It's a privilege to be in our school. You fuckers going around like you own the place. Fuck all of you. Every single one of you stupid cunts. All
right, Kickapoo High School racist. Hateful in his own way. Going for win number 3. Going up against Daisy and Dave back in the competition. Also looking for win number 3. So go on to Facebook and or Twitter. Get your vote in. We'd like a clear winner in the upcoming week, so please make sure you get your votes in. In the meantime, we're going to check out it's Beef of the Week time.
Ron and Brian's Beef of the Week.
So, Brian, what's bothering you this week?
I'll tell you, it's actually something that did not bother me all week until I would say about 40 minutes ago. All
right.
Microsoft Windows.
Ooh. The most recent version of Windows?
Fuck if I know. I literally opened up my laptop. I started working on it. It was lagging a little bit, working a little slow. I need my machine in tip-top shape when we're recording this laptop. I need to be able to jump back and forth between tabs and windows. And so I restarted my machine. It's been over 35 minutes since I restarted my machine, and I am still working at a slow pace. My computer is not in a good speed, and I'm looking at things that are literally causing my hard drive to work at 100%. And the names of these things are completely unfamiliar. I have watched a process that's called, hold on, I typed up, the Service Host Superfetch, which is using up 54% of my hard drive just by itself.
Seems like a lot. Seems excessive.
I would say it's totally unnecessary. And when I tried to turn it off and exit, access denied.
Well, perhaps this time you come over to the Apple family. I do not have that same issue with my with my little MacBook.
Don't insult me that way, Ron. We are. I consider you a good friend.
All right.
I don't want to consider you my enemy.
Fair enough. I won't even bring it up again. You want to know what my beef is this week?
Hemorrhoids.
No, thankfully not. Not this week. The Washington Post is my beef this week.
Whoa. Is it because they will not let you look at their articles online?
Yes, actually it is. Normally
get
they...
out of here. Are you kidding me? I can't believe I guessed it.
You're very good. So yeah, they give you what, 2 or 3 free articles, and I think I've mentioned in the past, you know, with my Mac, I just go and open a private window and type in the address, and it usually gets around that little paywall, and that's how I've been able to look at all these articles for the Washington Post as I do research for this podcast. Well, today, you know, I get the note, oh, you've used up all your free articles. So I copy, paste it in the private window, and a little message comes up from the Washington Post that says, sorry, sir, private viewing is withheld for our paid subscribers. I was like, you son of a bitch, you figured out a way to block the private window. So
fucking Jeff Bezos. You know what it is? It's the fact that his wife took half his money. And that's why now he's got to figure out a way to try and squeeze out every possible penny from the readership of the Washington Post.
He's got to figure out how to survive on, what, $35 billion?
Yes. I think it was $37 now.
It's very tough. Very tough, yes, to get by. So,
well, you know what it was? It literally got to a point where you were sending me these Washington Post articles to review, and I couldn't access them. They were just, you know, because they were, you know, I had already used up my number of articles per month. So I just, you know, I wouldn't even click on the ads anymore. Now, it seems like they've even gotten to you.
They have. They've
most distressing.
They fuck you. That's what it comes down to. They figure out a way to fuck you all the time.
It's Jeff Bezos and the failing Washington Post.
It's the capitalism, too. I'm thoroughly against capitalism today.
I also want to blame technology a little bit.
A little bit, yes.
Speaking of which, have you watched any of the new Black Mirror?
I did watch, which first of all, I hate when they say it's a new season and then they give you 3 episodes.
That's not a season.
It's absolutely ridiculous. But yes, I did watch all 3 episodes.
I've watched the first 2. I've yet to watch the third one.
Okay.
because you know me, I'm a big Miley Cyrus fan, so totally. I'm saving that for the end. I thought the first one was absolutely wonderful.
Did you?
I thought it was a great episode.
Okay.
The ending I thought was a little weird, but I thought the concept of it was great.
Okay.
Second episode I thought was trash.
So the second episode, what was the one?
It was, okay, the first episode, for those people that may not have watched it or have already watched it, the first one takes place in a semi-futuristic world where virtual reality, interactive, what do we call it, Xbox playing, video machine, video games. So it's virtual reality where you put on this headset and literally your entire field of vision becomes part of the game. And it's about these two old college friends that reconnect after not having spoken for a while. And they find their friendship rekindled within the world of a video game.
Are you trying to send me some sort of message with that you like the episode so much?
I'm just saying that if you wanted to get an Xbox, I'd be cool with that.
All right. And what was I'm really drawing a blank on what the second episode was.
The second one is a distraught Uber driver decides to kidnap an intern of a social media company and holds him hostage until he connects with the head of that social media company. And I thought it was trash.
It was. I agree with you on the second one. I wasn't as big a fan of the first episode as you were. Third one was okay with Miley Cyrus.
Excuse me. Stop right now, Ron. You know that this is Pride Month, right?
I do, yes.
So you know that during Pride Month, you have to embrace all types of pride.
Even
if it takes place in the virtual world.
But I guess maybe that's my challenge with that episode is they almost made it seem like it was okay to stay in the closet because these guys never seem to address the feelings they have for each other.
But they didn't have any feelings for each other. That was the whole point, Ron, is the fact that everything was taking place in this virtual world.
I don't know. Just I didn't like this season. I felt previous Black Mirror seasons, you know, the episodes, they had something to say about society and technology and where we're heading as a people. I don't know that they really had anything new to say with this new season.
Okay, hold on. Here, let me ask you a question.
Sure, go ahead.
Say you get the newest Xbox game controller or the PlayStation 7, and I get the same one, and we decide we're going to spend our evenings. You know, I know your wife likes to go to bed early.
Yes.
Leaving you home alone with the kids, and we start playing a game, and maybe in that game, on the body of a taut a little Asian girl.
Okay.
With breast implants and a blonde wig on. Maybe that's who I want to be in the virtual world.
Okay.
You know, would that make you uncomfortable?
I mean, if you wanted me to have sex with you, possibly a little bit.
But are you having sex with me or my avatar?
I don't know that you can really separate the two. And at least in my mind.
That's why that episode was great, because it really did show how technology has the ability to, like, here was an example where in a futuristic world, technology affected this man's relationship with his wife.
Whereas
in the second episode, I didn't see the part that technology played in the episode.
Well, I think, and we don't want to give away any spoilers, but we see, you know, the guy had a very tragic event happen in his life, and he did it because he was so connected to looking at his social media apps on his phone. So it was, like I said, it was a very weak episode. The first episode, however, had one of the greatest lines I think will ever be uttered in any TV show or movie ever, when the guy said, you know, I even fucked a polar bear, and I couldn't forget you.
Oh, you know what? That line went right over my head.
How did you miss that one?
Yeah, I missed it.
I'll have to pull that clip, because that's one you hold on to.
All right.
That's just
I think that might be a good.
There.
That could replace like beer.
You know who missed the new season of Black Mirror?
Who?
Is the celebrities that passed away this past week. We had Dr. John, a famous piano player, musician, legendary in New Orleans, actually started playing guitar, and apparently had a finger injury due to a gunshot wound he obtained during a set one night, and eventually shifted over to piano, backed up a ton of legends over the years, also has some albums of his own. His biggest hit, I think it peaked at number 9 when it came out, was Right Place, Wrong Time. I've been in the right place, but it must have been the wrong time. I'd have said the right thing, but it must have used the wrong line. And my personal favorite, which has been covered by a ton of people, but Dr. John was actually the originator of Ico Ico. My spy boy to your spy boy, sitting on the bayou. My spy boy to your spy boy, come on, Brian, move it. Shake it over there. Dr. John passing away, and a lot of musicians eulogizing him.
So many people were expressing grief in so many different forms this week.
Harry Connick Jr. was heartbroken by the news. Mm-hmm. He was. They combined on a few songs. I think the most popular was when they did a version of "Do You Know What It Means to Miss New Orleans." We lost another music legend this week, Bushwick Bill from the Geto Boys.
Oh, Ron, this one took me. This one took me for a loop. I mean, we all knew he had been sick.
Stage 4 pancreatic cancer, I believe it was.
That it was, which is, it was a problem. I don't know about you, but I was a huge Geto Boys fan. When they came out with that self-titled album, it introduced me to Houston and the Southern drawl. And I wish that, you know, there was a way that I could show the proper level of grief for Bushwick Bill's passing.
Almost if you could possibly do some sort of obituary for him in some kind of slow jam version.
I guess. I mean, it's possible. Let me see if I could recreate it. Oh, Bushwick Bill. Oh. Bushwick Bill died this past weekend. So me and Ron sitting here grieving. Pancreatic cancer was his fate. He'll go down as William the Great. Was a member of the Geto Boys. He kept it real short, that ain't no noise. Was born in Kingston, Jamaica, before moving to Brooklyn so he could take a shot at the rap game and fly like a bird. But he wasn't no ordinary N-word. He stood about 3'8". Now he's on his back. That's his fate. Known for gritty rhymes and slams, the Geto Boys album was my jam. He later became a born-again Christian, so to stay a gangster, he needed God's permission. Shout out to Scarface and Willie D. Sure, they're sad, but their brother's free. He'll be known as the dwarf who shot his eye out, but he'll remember him for the hottest clout. Bushwick Bill's gone. My mind's playing tricks on me.
Oh, yeah. Much respect to you, my friend. Much respect. So that, of course, was from...
And that's totally improvised. In the game, we call that a freestyle. That's a freestyle where a beat is just laid out and you, the words come off the top of your head.
So that, of course, was from their song Mind Playing Tricks on Me. Even if you didn't know the Geto Boys, I think they really hit some mainstream. Everybody, if you saw the movie Office Space, of course, remember this classic track. And here's a little Bushwick Bill. Damn, it feels good to be a gangster, feeding the poor and helping out with their bills. Although I was born in Jamaica, now I'm in the U.S. making deals. Making deals in the U.S. So
I actually think I rap better than him. You know, you compare the two.
Perhaps the Geto Boys will reach out to you this week now that there is an opening.
I would be shocked.
All right, moving on. In Alabama this week, they're just passing laws like sons of bitches out there. They enacted a law, I believe it was yesterday, that requires as a condition of parole that some convicted child sex offenders need to undergo chemical castration. Brian, give us a little insight into this.
This one's throwing me for a loop here because I'm not sure. I have conflicting feelings on this. So the idea here is that you've got a convicted, and it's specifically child sex offenders.
Correct. It's for people that abuse children under the age of 13.
Oh, I thought it was for people that were under the age of 13 that were sexual offenders.
No, you had that a little backwards. Mm.
Okay, all right, listen, and this is why we do this podcast, because I misread a lot of things in this way. You clear up a lot of misconceptions that I have.
I do what I can.
So the idea here is that you're not actually being castrated. What happens is a chemical solution is actually injected directly into the testicles, basically to render them irrelevant. As many Americans know, that the pituitary gland in the brain triggers the release of testosterone into the body. So what happens is the chemical that they're injecting, I believe it's basically an estrogen-like chemical. What it does is basically reduces the level of testosterone to a prepubescent level, so that it basically removes the sex drive from these sex offenders. Now, part of me says these people have paid their price they've paid their price to society. They're getting out on parole just as anybody else who would be getting out on parole. Yet, because their crimes are sexual in nature, they are actually going through an additional level of. This is to me is borderline barbaric.
Well, and there's also a number of people have commented that there's no real evidence that chemical castration solves the issue. It certainly makes certain crimes less feasible, but without therapy and dealing with the root issue, a lot of these times it's not an issue of sex drive or anything like that. So many people are saying this may not create the solution that they're hoping. The bill's sponsor, Representative Steve Hurst, initially wanted surgical castration.
It's Alabama, so they can get away with
chemical
it,
castration. Interestingly enough, a similar bill was proposed last year in Oklahoma, but met a lot of opposition. The former Soviet Republic of Moldova passed a law maintaining chemical castration back in 2012, which was repealed the year after because apparently it was considered a violation of fundamental human rights. So I would imagine.
They make good watches there in Moldova.
Yes, they do.
They make excellent watches, great timepieces.
So I would imagine this is yet another Alabama law that's going to be going through the courts.
And yet, on the flip side, they're molesting little children. And I have no sympathy for these people. And I say if we can do something that stops them from committing these crimes again, because they're so heinous in nature, I say, yes, absolutely, let's fucking castrate these people. So I'm conflicted how I feel. So I really, I'd like to hear your take on it.
It is conflicting because, these people have severe issues to be, sexually abusing children. But again, the question really comes down to, number one, if kind of like you mentioned, if they've served their time and they're getting out on parole, is that enough, the fact that they've served their punishment for the crime? Also, if it's a case of where you're really concerned that they're going to go out and they're going to become repeat offenders, should they be getting parole anyway? And then is this even going to be a deterrent for all of these people being released? The science is very mixed. And so, if you are... My concern is that they're going to let these people out on parole. They'll do the chemical castration, and they'll be like, all right, these guys are fine. We don't need to keep an eye on them. And, you know, it almost gives the authorities a false sense of security. And these guys could still be out there abusing young children, even on these chemicals. So definitely think there are better ways they could be handling this. I would almost say, you know, making them go through therapy sessions, things like that during parole to try and get to the root of the problem and make sure you're targeting the root. You know, drugs are just a temporary solution. They need to be looking for more permanent solutions. But this is Alabama, so they're not always doing the smartest thing possible.
Okay. I think drugs are the solution. You know, I mean, you tell 17-year-old me, you know, when I was going through my experimental phase, that drugs were not the solution. They were. They brought me to a better place.
All right. I won't argue that. You know the only place more dangerous than Alabama right now?
Hold on. Let me guess.
All right.
I'm going to take a wild stab at this one, and I am going to say that it is the TD Bank Center in Boston, Massachusetts.
Not quite, but close.
Damn it. The
Dominican Republic. What the hell is going on in the Dominican Republic? And this is even before Big Poppy got shot in a club by a couple of guys the other day.
Well, I think what's going on there is that there is a discrepancy in terms of safety standards by comparison to some countries as well as the United States.
Definitely.
I mean, you've got tourists that are going there and dying.
Right. Four so far this year that we know of, six total in the past year. If we go back to June of 2018, Yvette Monique Sport, 51 years old, died at the Grand Bahia Principe Resort in Punta Cana, had a drink from the minibar before going to sleep and never woke up. In July 2018, David Harrison, he was staying at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Punta Cana and died of pulmonary edema and a heart attack. Then earlier this year in April, Robert Wallace, 67, died at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino, same hotel. He was seen drinking a scotch from the hotel minibar before falling ill. And then last month, Miranda Shop Werner, 41, also collapsed and died at the Bahia Principe Resort at a separate hotel prior to falling ill. She had mixed a drink with alcohol and soda from the room minibar. And then 5 days later, at a nearby hotel at the same resort, Edward Holmes and Cynthia Ann Day were found dead in their room. Cause of death for both has been listed as respiratory failure, but officials still don't know the cause and are still waiting on toxicology reports.
You know what this sounds like? This sounds like the first 5 minutes of an episode of CSI Dominican Republic starring Sammy Sosa and LL Cool J as his crazy sidekick.
So here's a little bit more. There's a website called I've been poisoned.com where people who vacation can claim if they've been poisoned or not. So now nearly 70 tourists have reported getting violently ill while vacationing in the Dominican Republic since March, with more than 45 of them identifying themselves as guests of the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino. So they're definitely, you know, in at least three of these cases, there was an instance of people consuming items from the minibar in their room before having, you know, their medical emergency. So which would lead you to believe that it's either, you know, someone poisoning the products in a minibar, or it could be, you know, it could be a staff cleaning issue using incorrect chemicals on items in the minibar. That could also cause it.
Or hear me out.
Okay.
Hear me out. This could be an episode of Fantasy Island just gone terribly wrong. Like, this could be an episode. This could, Ricardo Montalban, you know, he could be welcoming these tourists to the island of Dominican Republic. And as you saw where I was going, as he was welcoming these tourists, Hervé Villachez could have immediately been running to the hotel rooms and taking out the little travel-sized glasses of liquor that are kept in mini bars, which in his hands would be normal sized.
True.
And he may have been inserting them into his very tiny rectum, giving him two twirls left, one twirl right, releasing from his rectum, placing back into the mini bar. That may be what's killing people.
I think it's worth looking into. I'm not saying that's the cause, but it's worth looking into.
That's all I'm saying.
So these deaths are also on top of earlier this year, there was an American who was attacked staying in the Dominican Republic. Tammy Lawrence Daly was staying at the Majestic Elegance Resort and was attacked walking down a hallway, pulled into a stairwell, nearly beaten to death. And she claims that her attacker was wearing a uniform from the resort. Now there's just a ton of these stories coming out of people getting almost killed, people getting poisoned.
But it's also, hold on. It's also, just like when Donald Trump was getting accused of sexual assault, I mean, you know, the first couple are believable, but then, you know, then it's just people looking for publicity.
Well, there's good people on both sides. Let's see who else. Cora Smith, who runs the Instagram account The Great Escape Blog with her husband Jay, visited the Dominican Republic in 2018 and stayed in Airbnbs in Santo Domingo, Punta Cana, and Constanbar.
Why do you keep calling me a puta? Like, that's really hurtful. It's real. I let it slide a couple times, but it's really starting to hurt my feelings.
I mean it as a term of love.
Okay.
On their second day in Santo Domingo, she was out jogging when she was approached by a man in a car that tried to get her into his passenger seat, but she ran away in the other direction. In Punta Cana, she was riding bikes with her husband when three men on a motorbike rode up and groped her. She said she didn't go to the police, claiming officers previously threatened to throw her husband in jail if he didn't give them his wallet. So there's a number of people that have been canceling their vacation.
Can I add another one to the long list?
Please do.
The TV celebrity Barbara Corcoran, who I know is your favorite show Shark Tank, she is now on the record saying that her brother passed away in his Dominican Republic hotel room back in April.
Interesting.
John Corcoran was there with a friend, which is also a subtle way of saying that he may have been celebrating Pride Month a few weeks early, but he was there and suddenly passed away. No autopsy was done, but she was told he suffered a heart attack.
Yeah, so it's a lot of these either heart attacks or respiratory failures, but younger people. I mean, this is, I think the oldest person was 61, but the rest have been in their 40s and 50s. So I know the FBI is now getting involved. There was just a story the other day, some soccer player had his family at the Hard Rock Hotel and checked out because of it. Just craziness going on down there. And yeah, and then Big Poppy's just sitting there, and apparently some drug lord tried to have him shot because he was having an affair with his wife.
There are rumors that are bouncing around the island. We're not sure. We deal with facts. We may be uneducated about our theories, but we deal with facts here. One of the theories bouncing around is that Big Poppy was having an extramarital affair with the wife of a local drug dealer. But what we do know, according to the Dominican Republic police, is that not only do they have the gun that was used to shoot him already, but they have arrested five locals, including someone they say is the convicted shooter. They released videotape earlier today showing the concerted, coordinated effort that there was two gentlemen on a motorcycle, one being the getaway driver, one being the shooter. There were two cars, I believe they were Nissans, that were parked in the area that were alerting each other to the presence of police and whatnot. So this reaches the level of conspiracy. And all I'm saying is that I do know, based on, the most recent 2010 census, there's a lot of Dominican natives that are currently residing in the South Bronx, home of my New York Yankees.
So you're thinking maybe there was a little animosity towards Big Poppy's World Championships?
What I'm saying is just, it's very possible. I mean, especially, I mean, when you look at the video, you clearly see that the shooter is approaching Big Poppy from behind, wearing Timberlands, a sleeveless white T-shirt, a Yankees cap at a 35-degree angle, and calling everybody bruh.
Maybe that's why the Red Sox needed to get Big Poppy out of the Dominican Republic as soon as they could. Because as soon as he was stabilized from his surgery, Red Sox had a plane down there to bring him back to Boston and get some of that good United States medical care.
And yet, you know, I'm surprised he didn't go to Europe, where apparently they have a great, incredible medical system. Well, according to Michael Moore.
Maybe he didn't want to take that long of a flight. But we do wish Big Poppy well.
Sure. Sure we do.
And don't go.
I will never forgive him for the damage that he did to my New York Yankees bullpen.
Fair enough. I mean,
I don't wish ill will on him anymore. There was a time period when I did. That was when he was an active baseball player, and he regularly crushed the New York Yankee pitching.
So if he was an active player and he got shot, you'd be okay with it.
I'm just saying, were you aware of the Toronto Raptor fans when Kevin Durant went down with his Achilles injury the last game?
Well, that's kind of where I was going with this.
I'm saying I've done worse.
I've seen worse. I definitely have. I was at the Philadelphia Eagles game where Michael Irvin got the neck injury that ended his career, and I remember them backing the ambulance onto the field and the entire stadium starting to cheer. And my buddy who had brought me to the game is a huge Eagles fan, and he was like, yeah, not a good look for us.
Now here's the question, how did you behave at that moment?
I was just, you know, it wasn't safe because this is the old Veterans Stadium and I was in the 600 level. It wasn't safe to acknowledge that you weren't an Eagles fan, so
I just
kind of kept my thoughts to myself that day.
Always smart when you're in an enemy territory, just keep your thoughts to yourself.
Today we also had the first sentencing for one of the people involved in the National College Admissions scandal.
Lock her up, and Becky going to prison. I mean, what kind of what was her sentencing, Ron?
Well, this wasn't her sentencing. This was the sentencing for the former Stanford University sailing coach John Vandemore. He had admitted to accepting $610,000 in bribes to designate two prospective students as sailing recruits. Ironically enough, neither of them ended up attending Stanford, and he didn't pocket the bribe money, but rather put it towards the actual sailing team. So prosecutors said he still benefited in a directly measurable way. It enhanced his status within the university, gave him more money to use for the sailing program, and furthered his career. So the prosecutor had recommended that he be sentenced to 13 months in prison, a year of supervised release, and pay a $250,000 fine. And what did he end up getting, Brian?
I'm going to say he got hepatitis B.
Well, he was sentenced to no jail time, 2 years of supervised release with 6 months of home detention in order to pay a $10,000 fine. In essence, a somewhat of a slap on the wrist for this gentleman. I mean, obviously he lost his job and everything else, but no prison time, despite the prosecution asking for a little bit over a year. They were actually talking about this morning on ESPN about this sentencing coming up, and one of the legal consultants they had brought in had basically said, you know, anyone who has not made a deal in this case yet should wait and see how this sentencing turns out. Whereas if this,
why so?
Because a lot of the cases are going to be going through this same courtroom. And are going to be going through, and a lot of these people are going to be judged in the same way. And the lawyer said, you know, wait and see what this verdict is. If the guy gets jail time, do a plea deal. If the guy walks, you have no incentive to do a plea deal whatsoever. Take your chances in court.
So Aunt Becky's going to court.
We know Aunt Becky's going to court because she had turned down her initial plea deal and got hit with a bunch more charges.
Right.
Now, we know apparently Felicity Huffman, according to her plea deal, will have to do jail time. You have to wonder if she's reconsidering, because she was one of the ones that spent kind of on the low end. I think it was only like $15,000 or $20,000. Yeah. Meanwhile, you got a guy who accepted $610,000 in bribes getting off scot-free. She's probably going to end up doing 3 or 4 months in prison.
Fuck yeah. Sorry.
So I think it definitely is going to make some of the people that did not plead yet probably want to go to trial now and take their chances.
All right, let's do it. Let's roll the dice.
Yeah, why the hell not?
Why not?
Now, you know what I love that seems to keep happening this week, Brian?
Tornadoes in the Midwest.
No, I'm not a fan of tornadoes.
Okay, let me try again.
All right.
I'm going to say protests in Hong Kong over an extradition bill that will send people charged with crimes to mainland China.
Not even familiar with that story.
You've not seen people actually protesting in the streets?
I haven't. I've been a little busy. I missed that.
You are too Amero-centric.
I've been too busy I've been watching Chernobyl. I've said it. Sorry.
Have you started watching Chernobyl?
I actually finished Chernobyl.
I've got all 4 episodes recorded, and I plan on watching it.
Well, there's 5, so make sure you record the 5th one.
Damn it. Now I'll never know if everybody survives or not. I genuinely do not know what it is that you've been looking forward to, other than rewatching episode 1 of the newest season of Black Mirror.
Well, you know what that comes up at the end of this week? It is our president's birthday.
Happy birthday, Mr. President.
And as such,
People
are trolling him endlessly with his birthday coming up. There is a big movement online with people wanting to get his birthday, June 14th, designated as John McCain Day. And ask that everybody tweet that, since our president is such an avid tweeter, making sure that gets tweeted out so that trends throughout the day on the 14th. In addition, speaking of tweets, The Daily Show is bringing the President Donald Trump Twitter library to the Washington, D.C. area this weekend in honor of his birthday. And in addition, to make sure that Donald knows that they are there, they have been buying ad time on Fox News during Fox and Friends and playing the following commercial.
Hello, Mr. President. Your birthday's coming up, and you deserve to celebrate with those you love the most, your tweets. That's why we're bringing The Daily Show Presents the Donald J. Trump Presidential Twitter Library to you in Washington, D.C. Come relive some of your most presidential tweets, including Kofifi, Stormy Daniels is a horse face, and are you allowed to impeach a president for gross incompetence? So please, join us this weekend as we celebrate you, a true man of characters.
Daily Show is still fucking crushing it after all these years.
I genuinely forgot Kofifi.
How can you forget it?
That's great. How could I forget Kofifi?
But even more importantly, and you know the president has inspired us from time to time here, we have come up with a follow-up to our number one selling hit, Tariff Man. I believe that went double platinum back when we first released it. Now we have another single to drop here today.
I'm loving it. What do we got?
And Brian, world premiere.
Fly me to the moon, which, as you know, is part of Mars. Hold on while I write a check to another porn star. In other words, cover up. In other words, help me obstruct. Fill my followers with lies and let me rule forevermore. You know all I long for is to be worshipped and adored. The Mueller report, it isn't true. You know what else? I didn't collude.
No collusion.
What a stupid question that is. What a stupid question.
It's tremendously big and tremendously wet.
You are fake news.
And he went out and bought a big yacht. And he had a very interesting life. I won't go any more than that because your voice got it.
Fill my nose with Adderall. Let me sniff forevermore. While I hang with Kim Young and with Vladdy and Hannity. My hands aren't small. You know it's true. I have the best words. I have the best words. And Pence loves. Dudes. Oh, I think that's another instant classic.
Oh, I love it.
And Pence does love dudes. I don't think people understand that enough.
He loves dude and he loves mother.
Mike Pence loves men. Allegedly. That's just what we...
Allegedly.
It's just what we... Right. Allegedly. Allegedly.
That's right, mother. That's right, mother.
What else happened this week, Brian? Did you happen to catch Jon Stewart testifying in front of the House Judiciary Committee earlier this week regarding the 9/11 fund?
I have seen this man be held up as a hero. I did not catch the speech and was unable to find the link to any portions of him basically ripping Congress a new one.
Which he did. He did it quite well. You know, he was there. It was in regards to the James Sedroga 9/11 Health and Compensation Act of 2010. The act was reauthorized in 2015 for 90 years, but part of the problem is that the Victims Compensation Fund was only funded for 5 years through the end of 2020. So they were trying to get a bill passed to get the compensation fund funded for 70 years. He spoke for about 9 minutes, and yeah, definitely tore into the Congress members that were there, but more importantly, the ones that were not there. The room was only about half full. The majority of the people there were Democrats. Apparently, people were coming in and out. But, you know, it definitely was not a focus for a lot of people to be in that room. And he broke down at times. I mean, he's become, you know, very close with the first responders. You know, he's been a champion for them for a long time. There was one of the first responders that passed away last year. They actually gave Jon Stewart his turnout jacket after his speech in the House chamber to show their appreciation. There was another first responder that was down in D.C. to speak after Jon Stewart, and he was there, you know, a day before having to go in for his 69th chemotherapy treatment. You know,
did you say 69?
I did say 69, unfortunately. So nice. You've got these guys that are, you know, initially, you know, the word was, oh, it's safe to be at ground zero. You know, don't worry about it.
God, no.
You know, when they first started having breathing problems, you know, people were saying, oh, it's, you know, it's all in your head. And then, you know, it became obvious that, you know, they were just breathing in a ton of carcinogens down there. And, you know, it was, I'll forward you a link. You really should watch his entire speech. I don't want to play the entire thing here, but he is, you know, it's obviously something that is very, very near and dear to his heart. You know, thankfully the House passed that bill. So it will move on.
So they're funding it for 70 years.
Well, it's out of committee and now it will move on for a vote, through, you know, the entire Congress. And then,
right,
you know, hopefully, it'll go to, President Trump's desk where he will sign it.
All right.
Little interesting factoid I read, speaking about Donald Trump in New York. They took a poll of New Yorkers, and President Trump is still more popular in New York than Mayor de Blasio is.
Oh, that doesn't say much. That doesn't say much. I despise, I mean, de Blasio has been a terrible mayor. He's not, living in this city during his administration, I've yet to see in any impact that he's had on this town. And yet he's already sitting there trying to pretend that he is presidential material.
And the good thing is it does not look like he will qualify for the initial Democratic presidential debates, which will be taking place on June 26th and 27th. He has not really appeared in any polls. He is polling at 0% in Iowa the last time they checked. He also has not crossed the donor threshold, which is another way that Democrats can get into the debates. I think they have 20 spots that are up for grabs. I think 17 candidates have qualified for the debates, and then they have some tiebreakers that they'll put into effect to weed out the rest of the field. But de Blasio isn't even close.
And good, good.
Do you know who put their presidential bid on hold today?
Hold on a second. I'm going to guess Ron Jeremy.
No, I believe he is still running as always.
Larry Flint.
Former Starbucks CEO Howard Schultz officially suspended his presidential bid. I got to admit.
We spoke about him a couple weeks ago.
It was a couple months ago.
He was our guy. We were all excited about it. We said that we needed another, we needed another corporate magnate to go from the boardroom to the White House.
And everybody was panicking because they were certain that Howard Schultz was going to be the one that guaranteed that Donald Trump got reelected. And right. Once people started to listen to him and see what a jackass he was, he just fizzled out right away.
Well, he did say, and one of the controversial positions that he had taken as part of his agenda was that he said that African-Americans would be allowed in the White House, but they would also have to prove that they had purchased something within the past 10 minutes. Otherwise, they were going to be asked to leave, forcing the White House to be closed for 2 whole days for sensitivity training.
And that's, that was just a bad start right there.
It was going to affect the day-to-day operations of a White House. I mean, that was a strong pull on his part.
But the polls all over the place the last few weeks. Joe Biden, still the leader in pretty much every poll out there, but bleeding support, dropping anywhere from 6 to 10 points over the last few months, depending on who you look at. Bernie Sanders usually floating around second in a lot of the polls, although the latest Quinnipiac poll has Elizabeth Warren moving ahead of Bernie Sanders, although still within the margin of error of the poll.
What about my guy, Buttafuoco?
Pete Buttigieg?
Close enough.
Buttigieg, there we go.
Buttafuoco.
He is actually moved up significantly as well. He is pretty much in the top 4 of every poll that you have seen. He's surpassed Kamala Harris in a number of polls. So, I think he could have legs.
So what you're saying is that, in other words, he's got legs.
I mean, you really can do anything with Fly Me to the Moon.
Oh, I love that rendition.
So as we had mentioned a while back, Ron and Brian will be live tweeting the initial Democratic debates coming up on June 26th and 27th. It will be very interesting to see how people perform. I think you'll see a switch in the leaders after the debates. I think Biden and Sanders will start to fizzle out, and I think you see Warren, Harris, and Buttigieg start to move up and jockey for position near the top.
And I think the opposite will happen. I think you are going to start to see the front runners extend their lead over the second tier candidates. I think you are going to see the third tier completely fizzle out, as the electorate are forced to be able to basically compare the different candidates. I think you're going to see Biden increase his market share. I think you're going to see Sanders and Warren increase. I think people are going to look at Buttigieg and say, that Fabergé egg is basically a small town mayor, and he's not capable of working on the national stage. I think you will see him fizzle out, and I think you will see Kamala Harris go up a couple points, but not enough to be a player.
And where do you think Andrew Yang will come in on all this?
I believe Andrew Yang, who's interesting, and this is a little-known fact. I went to high school with him. He was in my calculus class.
Really?
I believe Andrew Yang is going to have to remind people afterwards that, yes, indeed, he is running for president.
All right.
Who is Andrew Yang? Please educate me.
I
have no idea who he is.
I can't say that that I know too much about him. He's got some definite feelings on circumcision. That much I know. I don't know why. I can't remember if he is for or if he is against it, but I do remember that's like part of his thing.
What is his stance on the moil sucking the blood after the circumcision?
I do not know. One thing his campaign proposes, it's $1,000 a month freedom dividend to all U.S. Whoa. Citizens over the age of 18. And he has got other responses to handle mass unemployment. His big thing is that we need to be more aware of the technological automation happening in this country and how it is shifting the job market, and how in the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years, jobs that people have relied on for all these years are not going to exist anymore.
So he wants to just hand out $1,000 to everybody?
Pretty much, yes.
It almost sounds the opposite of his automation standard.
Possibly, but he's received donations from over 106,000 donors in at least 20 U.S. states, so he has met the qualifications to be included in the first round of debates, so expect to see him there. And would you like to know what his supporters are known as?
They're from China. The Chinese government is supporting
him. His supporters are known as the Yang Gang.
Oh, I was going to go with the Yin Yang Club.
Wasn't that the Yin Yang Twins?
Yeah, I fucked it up. Thank you for calling me out. That's all right. It happens. I can't help it. I'm going to swing a lot. Not all of them are going to be home runs.
All right. Well, that's about all we have for this week. Don't forget, head on over to the Facebook and Twitter to vote on This Week in Racism.
Also, I want to say before you head over for the vote on the we have stickers.
We do have stickers. Yes,
I was just setting up to plug our stickers. How are we going to get these stickers into the hands of our listeners? Because one of the things that I've started to see, I don't know if you've been following, is our social media intern has been posting photos on our Facebook and Instagram.
I've noticed that.
Of Ron and Brian stickers that are being photographed out in the wild, as I like to call it. I've seen some photos in the New York City subway system. Some listeners are posting theirs on social media. So how we get stickers in the hands of the people so that they can put them up on wherever they like to post their stickers so that we can spread the word.
Well, if you are going to be in the Philadelphia area on Saturday, July 20th, come on down to Tattooed Mom on South Street as we participate in the Philadelphia Podcast Festival from 12:30 p.m. to 1:30 p.m. We'll definitely have stickers there. I would say probably the easiest way, go to our website page, ronandbrianpodcast.com. Go to the contact us section. Just send us your address. And we'll send you out some stickers to share with your friends, your cohorts, your loved ones. Sticker responsibly. Don't ruin people's property. Don't put them on cars, expensive items, Fabergé eggs, whatever, bums. Don't do that. Sticker appropriately. We want to get the word out, but we want to do it in the right way, I suppose.
I disagree with everything you said in the past 4 seconds.
I mean, Brian is more of a chaos theory kind of guy, so he will tell you something differently.
The more outlandish the placement of the sticker, the better the photo is. I want to see cop cars, White House. If you work in a nuclear missile silo, slap the sticker up on it so that when World War III comes on and Kim Jong-un is about to get nuked, he's looking at Ron and Brian logos right before he gets vaporized. That's what I'm looking for.
All right. Well, go to strip clubs. Have the strippers use them as pasties.
Yes. Oh, holy shit, Ron. That's a great... I mean, it's going to cost me another $900, but that is actually a great idea.
Well worth it. Well worth it. All right. Well, again, go to the Facebook page. Go to Twitter. Check out This Week in Racism. Give us some suggestions for Drink of the Week if you have it. Mark July 20th on your calendar for the Philadelphia Podcast Festival. And, of course, listen, rate, review, and subscribe. We love it when you do that. And, you know, share Fly Me to the Moon with everybody because we're excited about the new single. We want this one to go triple platinum this time. Brian, you got anything else this week?
Nothing other than I love you.
Love you too, sir. So we are going to get on out of here. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you all again next week.